Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Now, if you're following political events on the continent, one of the trending topics recently was that of a Kenyan opposition politician, Miguna Miguna, who was deported from Kenya to Canada. Miguna, a Kenyan by birth, holds dual citizenship. And I should mention that the Kenyan constitution is one of the most progressive constitutions in Africa and guarantees the right to dual citizenship. So Miguna Miguna says that his deportation was illegal, a claim backed by the Kenyan High Court. He forced his way back into the country, but was refused entry by Kenyan authorities, whose heavy-handed approach in this whole situation baffles many legal and constitutional experts. At the heart of the argument is that the Kenyan government is going to great lengths to defy its own courts of law at the expense of appearing, as many fear, a banana republic. And the current government, under the leadership of President Uhuru Kenyatta, has been criticized and accused of scaling back on the rights of the media to cover important political events, including this whole Miguna Miguna drama. And that does not bode well for freedoms of expression and assembly in the country. On the show today, to help us understand what is going on in Kenya and what is at stake in this East African powerhouse, is my colleague Vincent Macquarie, host of Africa 54 on Voice of America, and a veteran reporter who knows all the personalities involved and has interviewed them on his show. Welcome, Vincent. Vincent, help us understand what is happening here. Kenya's crackdown on an opposition figure, defiance of court rulings, media shutdowns, all of this is shocking to many who see and have always admired Kenya for its progressive credentials. What's going on?
Yeah, so first, if I may recoup a little bit the Miguna Miguna saga. Of course, the government of Kenya had decided to deport him in a way that was interpreted by the lawyers that understand the legal standing of a person with a dual citizenship, that was kind of illegal, his deportation. And then later on, the court actually decided that Miguna Miguna should return to Kenya, should be allowed to go back to Kenya. The government of Kenya should give him back his documents, including a passport. And so Miguna Miguna, determined to go back to Kenya, went back to the country. But on arriving at the airport, the government of Kenya refused to return his Kenyan passport, but wanted him to surrender to them the Canadian passport, claiming that they needed to give him a visa.
Mm. But he said to be allowed to enter. Now, you had Miguna Miguna on your show a couple of weeks ago. How does he come to have dual citizenship? What is the story there?
Well, some years back, he had gone to Canada as an exile, a political exile. Mm. He used to be a very active kind of student at the university during the university days. Thereafter, we were living under the very ruthless regime of Daniel Arap Moi. And so some of those people who were not in good books with the system were forced sometimes to get out of the country. So he ended up in Canada as a political exile, lived there for some years. He went to school, he completed law school, and then started practicing law. And to, you know, to make his life comfortable, he decided to take a Canadian citizenship.
He never relinquished his citizenship.
And a few years ago, under the new Kenyan constitution, Kenyans were allowed, in fact, to have dual citizenship. Mm. And on the strength of that, Miguna Miguna went back to Kenya. He actually acquired a Kenyan passport, Kenya national ID, and other Kenyan documents, including the tax PIN that every Kenyan uses to pay taxes. Mm-hmm. But last few months, because of political reasons, they decided they're going to deport him and decided that he's no longer Kenyan.
What are the events that led to his deportation?
The events
is it technically a deportation?
If you look at it technically, right, it's not a deportation. This is a guy who is in his own country. But he's the guy who swore in or gave the oath of office to Mr. Raila Odinga, who took the symbolic oath as a president of the people.
Mm.
And therefore, the government was not happy with that event. It cracked down on the media for trying to cover it. And, of course, threatened...
It cracked down on everybody else.
Everybody else was around there, including Miguna. And then Miguna, except the leader, the person who declared himself president.
Raila.
Then they decided that Miguna Miguna should be deported. First, they arrested him, charged him with treason for having administered the oath, and then decided at the last minute, instead of actually having him go through the court process and profile his charges, they decided they are going to deport him. They gave him a deportation order, which was a piece of paper they wrote that didn't even have a proper signature. Put him on a plane back to Canada. And of course, Miguna Miguna since then decided to fight to come back to Kenya, his home country. So on returning, and in fact, he was returning on a court order that said the government of Kenya should facilitate his return, including buying him an air ticket, return his documents, and allow him into the country. Miguna Miguna came in that belief. And it doesn't make sense to us because then if the government
Did the government buy the ticket?
I'm here
did
to confirm that. Ideally, though, it is believed that they bought the ticket for him to Kenya.
It's believed.
I don't know. I can't confirm this. On arriving at the airport, they refused him in. Now, this is what, why I'm telling you this, because this is what tells us what is happening in Kenya. For reasons that nobody understands, the Kenyan government, led by Uhuru Kenyatta and the Jubilee Coalition, has decided to defy the courts. These have been orders given by the High Court of Kenya, and the Kenyan government has defied the courts. And we started seeing that at, initially when they shut down the major media houses for having tried to cover the inauguration of Raila Odinga. And the courts ordered that the media houses should be allowed to continue doing their job. And the government defied the court orders and continued to shut down those media houses.
What does this defiance say about the Kenyan government, but most importantly, about Uhuru Kenyatta, the president?
Uhuru Kenyatta actually was one of the proponents and fighters of the new constitution we have, which guarantees freedoms of press, freedom of movement and expression. He was one of those who fought to have the current constitution. The genesis of what we're seeing today is actually the election of August 2017, which, of course, was widely believed to have been extremely flawed. And, of course, the Supreme Court nullified those elections. And Mr. Uhuru Kenyatta, who believed that he had won the election, was extremely unhappy with the media, I mean, with the judiciary. And because of that,
and remember that incident where he was standing in, on top of a car and gave this, you know, speech where people believed he was it was a slurred.
It was
speech.
Kind of
he was a little inebriated and called
the
out
Supreme, the Chief Justice and the Justice of the Supreme Court. He called them thugs, basically. But there's something very critical here. He said, "We're going to go back to that election. We're going to win that election. And once that happens, we will fix you."
We will fix you, quote unquote.
Exactly.
Is this part of the process of fixing him by defying the courts?
There's no other way you can interpret this, because what Mr. Kenyatta was in a way saying, from now henceforth, we're at war with the judiciary, which is a third
with
the constitution,
right?
Because the judiciary is actually first, it's an arm of government, and it's supposed to be an equal arm of the government that checks the executive, and is supposed to interpret the constitution and the laws of the country. Mr. Uhuru Kenyatta decided that we no longer appreciate the way the courts interpret the law and the way they adjudicate cases in court. As long as those cases are not in favor
of us,
then we don't like you. So you ask me what is going on with Mr. Uhuru Kenyatta. It is a metamorphosis. It's a transformation. Mr. Kenyatta has become something we cannot recognize.
Maybe you can recognize it. It's just that you don't give it a name.
We never saw it
before. He's a protege in a way of Moi, the former dictator.
That's what people are saying, that being the person who was literally tutored by Daniel Arap Moi, he's now starting to peel off the outer
the facade,
and expose what exactly the student he has been, what kind of a perfect student Mr. Moi he's becoming.
Do you think Mr. Moi is still under the tutelage of the senior Moi right now, who is apparently in his 90s
Still alive? I think it probably helps him to appreciate that if you were as powerful as I was, if you were the supreme guy, nobody will mess with you. You know, you can arrest people, detain them for as long as you want. Mm. Nobody touches
you. Forget the constitution.
Yeah, this constitution thing, these lawyer judges being so powerful, they diminish your authority. So in a way, he looks like he's toying with the idea of an absolute leader.
Yeah.
The kind of almost like nostalgic about the
old
days. System, the
right.
old system.
But here's the question then. Why go after Miguna Miguna? Miguna Miguna was seen as a smaller political player. He ran for the governorship in Nairobi. He won. He lost. He got just over 8,000 votes. I stand to be corrected on that one. So he's not a political figure with the kind of standing that you'd say. There's political mileage for him to get out of this, but the kind of ferocity with which he's going after him is kind of a little surprising. Character specifically?
It's baffling, because if you ask me, they have actually made Miguna Miguna something it would never have become. Miguna Miguna, a few years ago, was a nobody. He was working for Raila Odinga. In fact, he made his name by writing two stinking books about Raila Odinga. That's how he made his notoriety. And then somewhere along the way, he actually even became a supporter of the Jubilee government. Mm. He voted for Mr. Uhuru Kenyatta in the last election in August. And then a few months later...
August 2017.
Just a few months ago. And then he switched sides a few months after then. And then suddenly he emerged from nowhere and became again a supporter of Raila Odinga. So he's not the kind of a person you would have imagined the government would want to make a big stink out of.
Right.
But they have now made him have an opportunity to make himself something.
Matter.
Now, Miguna Miguna doesn't have to be, in the shadows of
Raila
Odinga. Mm. He can actually become his own man. But here's the deal. If you ask me, if I was Mr. Kenyatta, I would have a big problem with my advices, because Miguna Miguna has made, because of Miguna Miguna, the government looks really bad. In fact, it looks so idiotic, mm-hmm. because the kind of drama around Mr. Miguna Miguna is unwarranted, mm-hmm. gives Kenya a really bad name. And for who?
For what?
Yeah. For what gain? If I was Mr. Kenyatta, I would sit back and call my advisors and say, what are you doing to mm-hmm. me? Mm-hmm. And Mr. Kenyatta is a man I would like to meet and talk to, because I know him from before. Mm. I would ask him the same question. What do you stand to gain from this? Mm. He really stands to gain nothing in the short term.
And Kenya as a country has a lot to lose
from this negative image. And then the other thing we've seen out of this is the complete disregard for the freedoms of the media. We can see that the government is on a warpath with the media. And people have traced this back to perhaps how the media reported on that old case of the ICC. Kenyatta's government has never...
There's a vindictiveness there in the way he's...
They never liked...
He's going at them.
Yes. You look at how they have dealt with the media houses, the individual journalists. We never even saw this during the Moi time.
Right.
Moi never did some of the things we were saying.
So they never really got to bury the hatchet, I guess.
Never.
If you're just joining us, this is Upfront on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Bunganyi. We are in the studio with Vincent Macquarie, host of Africa 54. We're looking at the recent event in Kenyan politics, an event that is still playing out as we speak. Opposition politician Miguna Miguna was previously deported to Kenya. Kenya's government has been cracking down on opposition figures for attending a symbolic inauguration of the opposition leader Raila Odinga. After his deportation to Canada, Kenya's High Court ordered that Miguna Miguna be allowed to return to Kenya. When he did return, Miguna was denied entry at the Jomo Kenyatta Airport, and security operatives heavy-handedly tried to force him out of the country, which he refused. He was later reportedly detained in a toilet at the airport. Now, what does this mean for the rule of law in Kenya? Respect of the Constitution? Joining me in the studio to make sense of all of this is viewers Vincent Macquarie, host of Africa 54. Jump, 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 jump
deportation to Canada from Kenya, Miguna Miguna spoke to my colleague James Batty, host of Daybreak Africa, and this is what he had to say about his situation.
Let me ask you, Mr. Miguna, you were deported by your own country. Your case was to go to court. Bring us up to date.
First of all, I have to say it was not a deportation, because a deportation is a judicial process that ends up by a court making a decision whether or not someone should stay or be forced out of the country. But you cannot, even under those circumstances, remove a citizen born in a particular country to an adopted country. I was born in Kenya. My ancestors, before I was born, had lived in Kenya for more than 500 years, maybe 1,000 years. So it defies reason why they would even call it a deportation. So that's number one. It's not a deportation. It's forceful relocation, just like the British used to do, the people who used to resist British occupation. Secondly, yes, the court proceeded to sit and to look into the matter and once again issued an order of contempt against the authorities that had abducted me, detained me without trial, disobeyed multiple court orders, abused me, then forced me out of the country.
You made certain demands. You want the government to pay the bill for your return back to Kenya, as well as provide you with security. Do you think the government can do that, particularly the security?
You see, if we are a country governed by the rule of law, and if we pretend that Kenya is a democracy and that the constitution is the supreme law in Kenya, and that the people sitting in Nairobi purporting to be the legitimate authority adhere to the rule of law, then that question would have to be answered by a court of law. Once a court of law renders a decision or issues an order requiring them to do one or two things, they would have to comply. And in this case, the court has no option but to issue the order. Number one, the court will make negative inferences as to the behavior of the authorities because they defied the court more than seven times. Two, they purported to charge me with treason and with assisting Raila Odinga to commit treason, and also now are saying that I was in Kenya illegally. They took me to court before removing me forcefully. So one would have to say, why don't you want to present the man before a court of law so that you can find him guilty? So that once you find him guilty, then you are authorized to punish him, including sentencing him to jail. But because they know they cannot find me guilty, they want to get rid of me through the back door. And I'm saying, no, I want to face you in court.
This whole thing by NASA, you don't see it as a provocation of the government?
We are asserting our rights under Article 1 of the Constitution, sovereignty of the people. The people elected Raila Amolo Odinga as their president, and Uhuru Kenyatta stole that election in broad daylight. The people have the right to get that power back.
That was Kenyan opposition politician Miguna Miguna speaking to VOA's James Batty. If you're just joining us, this is Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi, coming to you from our Washington, D.C. studios. And with me in studio is VOA's Vincent Macquarie. And we're talking about this whole political drama regarding Miguna Miguna and Kenya's government refusing him to enter into the country, insisting that he returns to Canada, even though Miguna, who was born in Kenya, still maintains Kenyan citizenship. And so Vincent is helping us understand this insistence by Kenyan government to defy its own courts of law. Kenya is also one of the countries where we know that opponents disagree but can be agreeable. Now, the question is that after that beef was squashed, after the hatchet between Uhuru Kenyatta and Raila Odinga was buried in that famous handshake, we hoped that that we wouldn't be seeing any more type of this type of dramas anymore. Are you surprised that?
I was so surprised. In fact, one of the least things I expected is to see this drama at the airport. What I had expected was possibly Mr. Miguna Miguna to be allowed to come in. First, it would be a sign of goodwill for Mr. Raila Odinga from the government side. But also, you know, no big deal. They would have just let him come in, possibly prove to him that he doesn't have such a large following, because there was no way you would have expected Miguna Miguna to necessarily take away the troops that are behind Raila Odinga, who he hoped to command the NRM. Without Raila, there's no NRM. And if Raila doesn't call them to arms in any way, they wouldn't show up for Miguna Miguna.
Right.
So we would have expected the government to act differently. But the fact that even Raila Odinga could go to the airport, try to negotiate for the entry of Mr. Miguna Miguna, to no success. In fact, they say he made calls to the president and it did not help. It's a bad sign. And it leads people to question, what was behind the handshake anyway? Right. Well, do you have a relationship? They were seen at a golf club over the weekend. They were there together.
Uhuru and Raila.
But the question is, because this handshake was just between the two men, the discussions before then were just between the two of them.
Right.
What is in it? It leaves people wondering, because if indeed there's a kind of a partnership developing.
Is Miguna, in a way, in a sense, a sacrificial lamb at this point?
He could be, because I personally, this is from me, and maybe I might be wrong. I'm sure Raila himself is a little uncomfortable about Miguna Miguna. He wouldn't want anybody to take his thunder, you know. He is the man.
But also the fact that this guy wrote a couple of books.
Of course.
Attacking him and his character and impugning him.
He knows that Miguna doesn't like him.
Yeah.
And after the handshake, Miguna actually called him stupid. He says a stupid guy.
Publicly.
He said he's a stupid guy. Of course, he made some legitimate points. He said, look, people died, children died,
women
were raped.
Behind you.
And then you go shake hands with this guy. That was legitimate. In fact, Miguna made a good point there, that how do you just shake hands and say, let's go on, without us resolving some of those issues. But I guarantee you, Raila has not forgotten how much this guy has disparaged him.
There's beef everywhere.
Yeah, there is. So in a way, he would want him to kind of disappear into oblivion.
Right.
If possible.
Because I was surprised he actually showed up at the airport.
He showed up for the sake of
the cameras.
Because remember, there are many people who feel like maybe Miguna Miguna sacrificed a lot for him.
Right.
That all this
so him
has
not
happened,
showing up would
it
look
show
really
like,
bad.
You see, you don't even care. This guy
but
put
the,
his life.
The $1 million image was when at the airport on his phone, seated on the side, and Miguna Miguna was being pushed around.
Exactly. He didn't do anything. They say actually at some point he was holding Miguna's luggage. He was holding Miguna's luggage. But the policeman just came and took him away. And then Raila's security guy said, let the luggage also follow him. Because there's no point of you holding onto the luggage.
So again, the question is, by making Miguna the sacrificial lamb, I guess, you know, he's a dispensable character.
Let me tell you, I do believe in Raila's corner. Miguna is dispensable. Because Miguna has not necessarily been a loyal follower. Raila goes for loyal followers.
Yeah.
Raila does not do well.
He loves loyalty.
Yes.
And he
Miguna
commands
is not a loyal
a lot
guy.
Of loyalty.
Exactly.
I've spoken to a lot of his constituents who have this, like, almost godlike.
Oh, okay. This is how you put it. Raila has a cult following.
Mm.
And his followers will tell you, if Raila says go left, we go left. Mm. Says we go right, we go right. When I was there for the elections and Raila said we are not going to participate in this election, his followers were being interviewed even the day before the election. Even the day before the election, even the morning of that election, they were saying, if Raila says we vote now, we will vote. But as far as we are concerned, he has said there's no election. That is our position. And they say, what I'm telling you, it's there. They say, whatever he says is what we do. They don't think
for
themselves.
Which should be scary to just the nation in general,
exactly.
But also as a leader, you know, Uhuru Kenyatta probably sees that and he says, you know, let me try to, you know, make up with, you know, with
this the main
man.
Guy.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody else is a hanger-on. I don't care.
And they also were starting to fall in line. Once the Raila says, don't worry, I've made the handshake, there's a reason for it, these guys started falling in line.
As we, you know, conclude our conversation today, by making this guy a sacrificial lamb, by deploying all these, you know, military, you know, security, you know, operatives who can kind of get involved in this public display of defiance of, you know, of the High Court.
Yeah.
What is Kenya losing? What should Kenyans be concerned about?
Kenyans at this point should be concerned about, first, the image. Kenya is losing the image. But this particular guy, they're using him also to undermine the authority of the judiciary and also to almost entrench the violations of freedom of expression, the law that protects freedom of expression, the laws that protect people's human rights, and very importantly, the media, which helps to expose the excesses of the government. In fact, they are almost testing the waters. They are trying to see the extent to which they can defy the laws and crush any perceived enemy of the government. Kenyans should be concerned about this, because if this continues, we are going to see more and more of this. In another year from now, we'll be back to the old days.
To Moi.
Yeah.
And that's scary.
That is extremely scary.
We hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, sure.
Vincent, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure, Jackson.
Thanks to all of you who joined us on the show today. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Goodbye.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African Music Mix on The Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African Music Mix plays only the best.
Yes, sir. Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1300 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies: 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
Stay tuned for Africa News Tonight.